The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are reaching you live from Etimiyan Crescent, Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. If you're watching us from anywhere in the world, welcome. It's the second part of Daily Studio where we review the big stories of the papers, weekdays, Monday through Friday. I'm Sheriff Quadri.
I'm Jimmy Disso. Good morning.
So we are streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube. Your search for Nigeria Info 99.3. You get to watch us and drop your comment as well. We're also streaming live on our website, nigeriainfo.fm. You can also drop your comment on our website. The chat room is there for you to do that. Let's start with the Punch newspaper, page 14 of the Punch. Outrage as Buhari gifts Nigeria Republic 1.1 billion naira SUVs.
Right, Nigeria Republic is a close ally of Nigeria, their neighbors, and therefore there might be occasional needs, you know, for strategic and security reasons, there might be a need for that will happen if you're the giant of Africa, the little countries that surround you, sometimes you need to play big brother. But I think that also in doing that, things need to be put in proper perspective. It is said that David Hundeyin, yeah. You know, he tweeted a document from the budget office, which was not denied, that there was approval of 1.145, let's just say 1.1 billion, for the supply of 10 Toyota Land Cruisers. It stated here, 10 Toyota Land Cruisers to Niger. And the government's statement, defending it, the government said that the purchase of these 10 Toyota Land Cruisers was to enable the country to safeguard its territory in the best interest of Nigeria's security. Last time I checked, I don't think Toyota Land Cruiser was a military item. It was more or less a luxurious car. If we were going to average the cost, I'm not saying that is what it would cost, but if we were going to average the cost, you're talking of 100 million per vehicle. Now, that's a lot. That's a lot. So, was it a bribe? Is it supposed to be passed on to who? And why would they want... What was the insistence on it being a Toyota Land Cruiser at an average cost, unit cost of 100 million? Because that's what you do anyway, just divide by 10. So there's been a lot of knocks. And I say to myself, I remembered with joy way back during Obasanjo's first coming, we faced our first economic crisis way back then. And Obasanjo had this thing that he called Operation Low Profile, in which even him, as the head of state then, was driving a 504. Where I'm going is, how do you identify a car at 100 million each, average cost, as an item that is supposed to aid military this and that, and aid the defense? Question number two. If you even had to give the SUVs, because these things happen sometimes, if you had to give SUVs, you know, to as whatever, whether gratification or whatever, ease of movement, only God knows. If you had to do that, couldn't you look for something cheaper? Wouldn't it have been better for you to tell your Nigerians that, look, we have a company in Nigeria that produces SUVs, Innocent. Call Innocent and see if you can't. Innocent probably would have supplied these cars at one-fifth of the amount if there's nothing to add in between. Say, you get what I'm saying? You get anything to add in between. So the part of what we are saying is that the attitude of the government is as if we have so much money to spend. That is where I'm going. The Nigerians themselves, I doubt if they would be spending this kind of money acquiring these 10 vehicles. So there's, you know, the current director of Transparency International said that the gesture showed that the current political leaders were not sensitive to the plight of Nigerians. And I believe it says it shows a lack of priority for development in Nigeria. It talks about how universities have been closed and so on and so forth, the numerous problems that we have, economic also. There are some things you do for symbolic reasons. Symbolically, when Obasanjo was driving as head of state, a 504 was the official car way back then. It was to make a point. It's not as if the country couldn't afford the Mercedes-Benz cars that we had at that time. But it was to make the point. Our leaders continue everything at business as usual. Mm. I've not heard, for example, that, oh, members of the National Assembly said, look, to show this gesture, let's cut our whatever it is by 30-40%. I've not seen some of the former governors who enjoy these big fat pensions say that, oh, no, Nigeria cannot afford this now, for symbolic reasons, to set the pace. You have a girl, it was tweeted one time, you have a state governor, a current state governor from the East, who was wearing a wristwatch. That's the latest thing now. Mm-hmm. The latest craze is to wear the most expensive wristwatches. This one, well, a wristwatch, $780,000.
Dollars, exactly.
You thought I was going to say Naira, no, dollars, with diamond studs and so on and so forth. Is there something wrong with us? So we'd like to tell the federal government, let us do things with a bit of reasoning. I'm not saying don't give them the cars. They must have a reason on paper, and that, you know, none of us would be privy to it. It could be security related, it could be a bribe or whatever, but I mean, for crying out loud, you could even have made it a Tokumba one. Well, we don't even know if this one is brand new, but at 100, if you break it down to 100 million per vehicle, heaven help us all. Let's go to the next area.
Yes, let's move on to the next area. Page. We're still with the point, though. Page 12 this time. Recommendations, ASUU kicks as FG excludes state varsities.
It is at this 99th hour that this issue is cropping up. We should have cropped up from the very beginning. Mm. What is it? The federal government now says that, and rightly so, I believe, that they cannot impose the conditions they agree with ASUU on the states. Don't forget that there are federal universities and there are state universities. And the federal government says that we can't impose on the states. They're not going to pick up the bill anyway. Maybe some of the states won't be in a position to meet some of your demands. But here you are, you had the states being represented all along in the first instance anyway. Why wasn't this issue sorted out from the very beginning? That this meeting, well, it's like you want to do a business, it's better for you to start a meeting before the money comes. Mm. Not wait until when you've sold and come back and now start thinking of a sharing formula. Now, see what the states are saying. Ekiti State, Commissioner for Information, said the state was not part of the ongoing negotiation between federal government and ASUU. Hence, any agreement reached out could not be binding on it. This is at the 99th hour. The Benue State Commissioner said the state government was not involved in the ongoing negotiation between the federal government. Anambra State Commissioner for Education, Professor Ngozi Chuma Ude, said the state was involved in the negotiations and would implement the outcomes. Then we have Osun State said that if the lecturer salary was reviewed, states would expect the federal government to assist them in meeting the demand. Gombe State Commissioner for Higher Education, Meshack Lauko, said out of the 8 demands highlighted by ASUU, the state government had defaulted only in the end allowances. Ogun State Government explained that they will wait for ASUU to present the agreement reached to the federal government before it would commit itself to any arrangement, and so on and so forth. The Commissioner for Education, Professor Abayomi Arigbabu, said the government, that's the Ogun State government, will need to know the nature of the agreement first. He said, the question is loaded. I cannot answer yes or no. I should know what I want to agree to, and so on and so forth. I think I'm going to whip ASUU on this. That is the first thing that should have been cleared off the table. The very first thing would have been, look, we want all states represented here, and let us all agree that what we agree here will be binding. Unfortunately, that did not happen. So we are going to have another stalemate.
Is it fair, though, to put this on the federal government?
It's not. You want separation of powers and so on and so forth. Some states can't even really, in reality, afford to have a university, but they went ahead and did it for political reasons.
For political reasons, yes.
But we, at the end of the day, we are the ones who bear the brunt. We, the public, are the ones who bear the brunt of all these shenanigans and whatever is going on. And it's quite unfortunate. It's quite unfortunate. Okay. So we are going to have another crisis. you know, virtually, where the federal universities there'll be agreement. But ASUU, I don't know whether they'll be able to negotiate on a state-by-state basis with each of them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a mess.
Yeah, I can see that. Page 37 of the Vanguard this time. Kumbi Ogunde takes leave of absence over letter to SIPEM.
Okay, I'm sure you're all conversant with this issue now. Kumbi Ogunde works with Wole Olanipekun and Co. She was the one who wrote what I would call an inappropriate letter to SIPEM. And the pressure has been so much.
Mm.
Part of the pressure now is that the MBA, now let me get this right, the MBA wants the firm disciplined, or they are disciplined, but her principal, Wole Olanipekun, Chief Wole Olanipekun, is the chairman of body of benchers that the panel set up to review the case would have to report to.
Mm.
And by simple reasoning, he's been asked to recuse himself, and he has refused to do so. He has just refused to do so. And there's been so much tension. Every day my inbox is loaded with articles and so on and so forth. There is so much turbulence at the bar just because he would not recuse himself, which I think is the common sense thing to do. Whether you bring in the ethnic, whatever, religion, all kinds of things that have now come into a simple thing. There is a case that is going to be determined under your jurisdiction, not directly but indirectly. The simple thing is to excuse yourself for the case to happen. And then whatever recommendation happens, you come back. Rather now, the poor lady has been forced to leave law practice as a whole. I even hear that she's traumatized. I read in one of the publications that she's traumatized and has left Nigeria for the United Kingdom. Very, very sad. I wish I could utter my personal view and feelings about this, but I don't want any explosion. I don't have the expression this morning. But I think it's very, very important. You know what it reminds me?
What's that?
You know my favorite proverb?
What? I don't know.
If you follow...
Your favorite proverb?
Is in Yoruba.
Is in Yoruba?
Yeah. Somebody will tell you.
Okay.
Somebody will tell you the social media. This is the case.
Oh, yeah,
but the lesson there... is for if you belong to a group or work in an organization or whatever,
yeah,
you better be careful the things that you do.
Otuloma Jiarari.
Who said that?
Me.
I'll be on the phone. Thank you. How did you get it? You know, this one is Kurube. How did you get it?
You say that a lot now.
So anyway, you will be quoted as having said it.
I answered a question.
But I think the plight of the woman is unfortunate. And I just wish that Chief Wole Olanipekun had saved her this by just accusing himself.
Mm.
So that, you know, but her own career is one that is truncated now. Sad.
Mm.
Okay.
All right, let's go to the Vanguard again. Page 9. My husband abandoned us during robbery attack. Woman tells...
We wanted to bring a bit of humor this morning. Mm. This is more or less like a diabo mystery. The story here is, and is in the Vanguard of page 9, that a businesswoman, Asiata Oladejo, told the Makpo Great A Customary Court in Ibadan to grant her divorce on grounds that her estranged husband was undependable and abandoned her to the mercy of armed robbers. He says that, my lord, I'm ready to recover from the shock I experienced when a gang of thieves raided our house. He hid in the toilet, leaving me to pant in front of the armed robbers who terrorized the entire residence of the house. My lord, when the thieves arrived, I must strip this thing to waste the dear moment next week. When the thieves arrived at 1 a.m. that night, my husband was nowhere to be found to defend the children and I. Unknown to me, he hid in the toilet. He only came out when they had gone.
Shame.
My husband wanted us to continue living in that house. And she goes on and on and on and on.
Shame on him.
And the man actually, I liked him. He confessed. He said, it is true that I hid in the toilet when our robbers attacked our house. And he says, but all attempts to bring her back home failed because she said she was unnecessarily scared.
Oh, boy.
And so on and so forth. So, of course, they separated them. They separated them.
It's enough. Oh.
They separated Paul and Barnabas. So the man will pay monthly allowance of 20K for the children of King. And both of them have been told to attend the meeting. We just thought we would, let's go away from politics a bit. It's on page 9 of the Vanguard. My husband abandoned luxury robbery attack. Woman tells court.
Do you think it's a strong enough ground?
What would you have done?
Me?
Yes.
God forbid. Of course, I'll defend my family.
How?
I will say that. No, I don't. What do you what do you mean? Why can't in call what?
You will go in and come out. Like they say in Yoruba.
Molo long, sha.
You will go in and come
out. I have God. But I'm wondering whether that's strong enough. Maybe there are other reasons.
No, there are other reasons. There are other reasons. I just didn't want to take too much time, but I found this quite amusing.
But
because he now says that the woman is a fashion designer and she was ill-tempered. And she comes to my shop unannounced to torment me. He's always going to his own shop. And you know, it is true. I hid in the toilet. I mean, hey, you know. But all attempts, I'm back from the toilet now. Come back home. The woman said no. So they separated them. The good thing about things like this is they can always come back together.
You know what I mean? Separation is still.
These days, I think that if I were a judge, about 90% of the cases, I would just go your ways first. You know, before it leads to anything. Because these days now, tension is very high.
It's very, very high.
Very, very high.
Indeed. Page 12 of the Vanguard. Disconnecting electricity consumers without 10 working days notice. Illegal, FCCPC.
This is a special announcement. Who is going to pay me for this? If you don't pay me,
I read it this morning. It's me that they will pay first.
You read it this morning?
Yes.
Let's shift this program to 6 o'clock. It says here that the Federal Competition and Consumer Protection Commission, forget the lazy long names, they have the authority, has said that no electricity distribution company, listen to this, I can't pull my ears because it's in the headphones. No electricity company has the right to disconnect a customer without first serving a notice for at least 10 working days. I must send this to Mr. AK. I must send it to him. Mr. AK works in one of the discos. The 10 working days from the date of delivery of their bill. 10 working days. The commission finally adds that the disco must notify the consumer in writing. You get me here? In writing. They must notify you in writing ahead of the disconnection of electricity service. Before doing so, they will tell you, we are coming to disconnect you on so and so day to be ready and tie your dog. And that they have a duty to reconnect you, the consumer, within 24 hours. Not that you will start begging one bros in the place to bring ladder and whatever. No, it's within your rights. Now, this thing must be tested. That's where I'm going.
Yeah.
It must be tested. If you are disconnected and you're not given the proper notice, get your lawyer to write a letter. We need to bring sanity into this country. We break the rules and the laws with impunity. So I'm looking for the first volunteer who will do this. The moment you are disconnected, put up the evidence and so on and so forth, and get your lawyer. You must be given 10 days. Does it say 10 working days or 10 days? Omo, it is 10 working days. You know, Saturday and Sunday are not working days. And if God wants to bless you, a public holiday will fall in between.
Back to back.
But so 10 working days. So Monday to Monday. So that's about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Really. Monday to Friday is 5 days.
Yeah.
So 5 plus 5, 10. 2 weeks. That's more like 2 weeks notice before you will be disconnected to give you time to run around. And once they disconnect you, once you pay, just pay and go back and sit down and see if they won't reconnect you in 24 hours. That is what we call by militating the law. You know that one?
Yes.
Slap me, make I get
make
one.
Make a hammer.
Go by hammer. I do this. I can see people jubilating at home. They're so happy. But what?
So someone who is probably owing more than he or she can handle, do you think the person would be interested in going to court?
What I am saying is that if you are disconnected,
you're not given
10 days.
I get that. Like,
you get your lawyer.
You probably think
it's probably
that
the compensation they will pay that you used to pay the bill. But you see, that is what has been going on in this country. But at some point now, it will have to stop.
Yeah.
Where people are so unwilling to fight for their rights. I hear people say that it's people like you. People like what? I'm not a Superman. Do I have anything special? It's just my job that puts me in this position. We must be ready to fight for our rights.
Right.
You know, we're so unwilling to do that.
Indeed. And lastly, I think it's because we actually don't even know these things.
That is one, too. People are gradually losing faith in the legal system.
Yeah.
That one is another. I mean, I'd hesitate to go to court in Nigeria. Yeah. It's so cumbersome. That doesn't mean you go and ask someone.
I know, right? Let's take this editorial from the Vanguard. Blaming the poor for vote bribes.
Yeah, the Vanguard brings up something here. And, you know, this issue of bribing of votes, of voters to cast their vote. Anybody who gives you money to vote for him is a thief. Because what we expect of leaders is you offer yourself for sacrifice. We decide whether we want to use it, whether we want to use your services or not. If you now have to induce us to do, know that that person is a thief, Oleni. And at the very first instance, first opportunity he has, he's going to have to recoup that money. This is very, very important. And I don't know who is. We had an opportunity in this last one. For the first time, I heard the EFCC. Well, at the venues of the,
primaries.
Primaries and so on and so forth. Even the one where the president was, it is being said that not only was money being distributed to voters, it was being done in hard currency. Anybody who gives you money to vote for him is a thief. It's as simple as that. There is nothing else to call him. He's a thief. But the question now is, who has the liability? Anybody who collects money to vote has committed suicide. If you collect money to vote, sometimes when we say collect and do the right thing, we're just looking at the situation because of poverty and so on and so forth. But isn't it time that we as people, we had principles? That principle that says, no, I will not collect it. I will not collect this kind of money. We are weak. Well, a lot of us are weak and lily-livered. When we now have to face the consequence, we pass everything on to the next person. It was Sharif that told us on radio that this man is the best candidate. He was the one who told us to vote for him.
Yeah.
Sharif.
Yeah. People say that.
They say that. Okay, so the Vanguard says that the crime of money politics is revisited as Chukwuemeka Nwajuba recently claimed that money played the role in the emergence of the candidate of his party. And of course, he has sued everybody, so the issue is in court. But this is the essence of what we're trying to determine here is who is culpable the most, the giver or the taker. The Vanguard argues that both parties are culpable, okay? But the so-called political leaders must bear the bigger brunt. They are the ones setting the bad example. How do you feel out there if you know that you are sitting on this seat because you virtually had to bribe your way through? You know, but they don't care. It says they not only weaponize poverty, okay? They always offer to buy votes from those willing to sell. The law enforcement agents only help themselves too. I don't know where that sentence is coming from. I just read it from there.
Okay.
But the Vanguard argues that this vicious circle must be broken. Corrupt politicians who buy the vote and their customers must be made to face the music. Party members must finance their parties and be in a position to demand good governance. Way back in the day when I was growing up, people actually contributed at party meetings. When you go to, there's a PRP was called something Taffin Kobo. When you go to PRT meetings, you donate, you have a card, and you pay your... So you had a say. But when you are going to meetings, you expect to be given pure water and soft drink and bread and things like that every time. You can't come back and come and say that the man cannot do Baba Sokwe when you don't chop all the money.
It's called Pekpemus Jejemus.
Who said that? Somebody said that yesterday.
Yes, that was...
No, you said it.
Yeah.
you know, you've so invariably you have bound yourself perpetually to poverty and bad governance. I wonder, with the way Nigerians are now, I wonder what if this were the set of Nigerians we had in the 50s, the British would still be here at the Job Ali Waluri Company. We are not ready to fight for anything.
Yeah, we're not.
But we want the dividends.
We're not.
It doesn't work that well.
We're not.
Yeah, yeah. Any more stories?
Yeah, so let's take this one before we go. Oshomole dismisses row over Muslim tickets.
Yeah, I saw Oshomole, Adams Oshomole on Arise TV, doing what he knows best. He's very, very eloquent. And he, when he was asked the question, he parried away the major question that was asked. He parried it away and went to one long song. And look, listen, all of us need to be very careful and don't allow these people to choose the narrative. The argument again, if somebody will tell Oshomole, simply is that it is untidy. It is not illegal, but it's not that anybody is playing any emphasis on religion, but that there must be a balance in the things that we do. And religion is not an issue for logic. You don't sit and argue with people over his beliefs. And what we're saying is that it would have been better. It shows lack of sensitivity to have two faith-based candidates, two of the same faith. As simple like that. Whether one of them married a Christian or not, we're not interested in his marriage. We're not interested in his person in this issue. What we're saying is that the symbolism is not good. And I've told the APC, move on with your decision. Don't talk about it. The more you talk about it, the more you make it an issue, the more you rub it in for those who feel offended. So I watched it yesterday. I watched him doing the drama. He didn't even let them ask him. He kept going on and on and on, veered into so many other things that he was not asked. I would love to have them here. Live.
Oh, no.
Anyway. Any of these politicians. I love to have them. Politicians, Oshomole is very good at, you know, he can swing, you know, swing things. But when you, that's why for us in the media, we have to be on our toes. I was shouting when I was watching this, ask him this, stop him, ask him. He just kept going. But let's put it behind us. As far as I'm concerned, it's not illegal. If they think it's going to work, so be it. And if I were an APC spokesman and you asked me about the Muslim, I would say, look, we've made that decision and we're ready to go on, we're ready to ride with it. We plead understanding. What's okay. that? I'm hearing. Oh, it's your chair?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was speaking it here.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
So we have to go now.
I thought there was a baby.
That was a baby.
It sounded like a baby crying.
Okay. All right. So what's going on at 9?
At 9, I'm going to give you the full information on this bust at VGC.
Okay. Yes. Fantastic.
I'm going to do that because
fantastic.
It could be you.
Yeah.
So you have to watch out for what your neighbor is doing.
Right.
So I'll see you at 9.
All right then. That's our show today. I'm Sheriff Quatri.
I'm Jimmy Disu.